Heavenly Father, we remember the words of your faithful angel. Came to Mary and said, all things are possible in the actual presence of God. And Lord, we know we're in your actual presence by the descent, according to the word of the hour, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. And if that personal presence brought forth the conception and the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we marvel now at what your presence can and will break forth, Lord, in the bride, to bring forth a word bride, Lord, and the people out of the ground that might be completely resurrected and glorified. The start, Lord, of eternity, which we have already been in and always were in, but in a new form, a new formula, a new mode. And we know that's happening now, Father. We thank you for your presence, and we pray that you teach us the word, Lord, that's supposed to come forth. And you said the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge in him. We begin this hour, Lord, to do what it's supposed to do, which we believe is the shout. And so help us, Father, in the messages that your servant left us, we might understand what he said. It might be applied into our innermost being, that every channel of our mind, our soul, and our spirit may be entirely filled with the Word of God and the life thereof, until it begins to flow forth from vessels that are truly sealed into thee and by thee. Lord, we know that that seems very far-fetched in the light of the Laodicean concept, but you said it, Lord, and we agree that it's true, and we trust we're a part of it, so we're looking for the fulfillment in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're in still on the, who is this Melchizedek, and I think we shall be for some time. And we're taking various facets of it, where Brother Branham would make certain statements, and then we begin to look at them. And Brother Branham, in mentioning how that Melchizedek was actually God in a human form, and then he said you never see him again until he appears as Jesus the Christ, and he made a specific statement there that understanding how that this one came down in human form and then of course ascended going back would help us to understand how we came down, or how we came as the attributes of God into existence in human form. So, again, I'll take my terrible artistry before you, and I think that's all I can do because I'm not adept at this, of God. And we won't take all the diagrams as we did formerly. And we just start up here with God, who has within him certain characteristics, attributes, and qualities which are godlike. And because he is God, he's not solely attributes. When you get a dictionary definition on attributes, I like the one, if I can find it here, if I get all my notes in order, which I don't know if I got it or not. On attributes by Descartes, he mentions that an attribute can never ever be taken for the whole. At no time, but the whole itself has many attributes. So you might say God has many facets within him. And he being God, which always was, and even God is not responsible. Now this may sound strange, but we sort of got to get some thinking in here to understand a little different from our own human thoughts, that, look, I'm not responsible, somebody else is responsible for literally the reason I am here, or I am here. And God is responsible in name for every single thing that's in the world by creation, government and forces and all, and it all has a purpose in being until God brings it to the final conclusion of what God wanted. Now, let me put it the same way. God is not responsible that he's God. Now, do you understand what I'm saying? He's God. He's what he is. And the question, did he ask for it? No, he didn't ask for it. He was. Now, this boggles the mind.
I'm sorry we're being bothered, but that's the way it is. I can't help it. So, as Brother Branham said, it was in him to be a Savior. It was in him. Okay. So that's up here, in him. Was to be a Savior. Now notice it was to be. Okay, what was in him, and it was to be. Now not in the sense that it already wasn't. It was being potential, but it had to manifest. She has to come forth. So that's why Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, in him to be, he was. Your mind boggles. It's just a fact. That God has no control, but God is defined. He's not amorphous. He's not the breeze. He's not everywhere. That's a lot of stupidity. God is defined. He's got limits. See? Everything has. So he was what he was. Now, it's all in him. What was there was in him, and it was to be. Now, it can't help but be. So therefore, God must, as Irenaeus said, him being a Savior, and it can't be helped. See? Now, that said, if anybody then turns around and says, oh, I believe in God, yes, I do, he's a sovereign being, but I want to tell you this stuff about man, and he's a sinner is a lie, because man's not a sinner. That man is a fool. He better shut up and not ever mention the name of God again. Hear what I'm saying? You know why I'm saying it? You don't? You know why I'm saying it? Because look, God is. You can't change him. He can't help being what he is. Now that sounds strange, but just keep it there because I mean to say what I'm saying. Now, so Irenaeus said, God being a Savior, it was necessary that God predestinate a sinner in order to give himself a reason and a purpose of being. So therefore, what God wanted was to manifest every single one of these attributes or characteristics or roles, R-O-L-E-S, which was in him. He wanted to do it. And remember, he can't help doing it because he's God any more than you can help eating and breathing. Now, I'd just like to see you stop breathing at will. Will somebody please demonstrate that I'll give you 20 minutes to die? Please, somebody stop breathing at will. Norman, help him. Well, you see what I mean? If it's foolish to try to manipulate God or think of God in terms other than absolute sovereignty, unbending, unchanging, can't help it, will be. Now, it lets a lot of things slide by. But don't worry, he's going to bring it right back with us. Okay, in him then was, and it would has to be. Now, God, and I'm not going to try to review everything last night because it's not going to work. Up here in God were all these little things up here. We're just going to call them his life. His life potential. His life potential, because in him was Zoe. And that word life takes in the human being, takes in the caterpillar, takes in the tree, takes in everything that we say is animate, and not necessarily animate, but it has some type of life flow wherein it is able, through a process, to eat, to give off waste, and to propagate. Stones don't do that. In him was the life principle. See? In him was everything we see out there that is in a living form, and everything else was a product of him as he spoke it, but not necessarily in him. It's just like the sinners, the reprobates. They were in his mind and written concerning in a book, but they were not in him. We're talking what was in him, and we know that we were in him. At the same time was in him to be. A division here. And I have to put it way up there so you can see what I'm doing. We'll get this. We're going to have to get a new pulpit, maybe roll it to one side and get this, because it's necessary I show you. All right. In him was to be, I'm going to put Father in here. In him was to be Son. In him was to be Holy Ghost. Now, he was Holy Ghost. But he's speaking of a specific office left for the Holy Ghost, as designated such. This is how Holy Ghost. But it's specifically designated as such being Father because it's a role. And this is also the very same here. Now, we were all up in here in him. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus will get up and sing a soul in the midst of the church, or he will join in the great anthem, lead it amongst the congregation, singing praise unto God, and he's not ashamed to call us brethren because we're of the same source. So here you got out here. You what we call the Logos, where God begins to manifest himself and bring out from the inside what's in himself. You follow what I said? That's going to boggle the mind, so your minds are boggled. So what? How'd you like to talk about a cyclotron of smashing atoms and putting together? I don't know if even Gene can do follow those things. I don't know. He's about the best educated one here with the, maybe understanding a lot of things in science and all that. Maybe he's not. Maybe he takes the whole bunch and put together all the engineers here. Can you come up with answers? Well, you say, we've got scopes and we've got ways of knowing things, but I say, ha-ha, can you create it? Do you know what to do with it? And the answer is no, because they built an atomic bomb, now they got atomic waste, and the whole thing's going to blow us up. See? So you can't understand these things, but we can read, and I'm going to read Dr. Wiest, and get a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about up there. And I'm going to try to get this in a hurry because we did a lot last night. In the beginning, the Word was existing. Now, the Word is an express thought. And within the expression must be the essence of the thought. Now, you just can't call God a thought. You can call him the thinker, the conceiver. So, the essentiality of whatever is in the thought and to become manifest must be placed in this. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? The essentiality of it. You don't just say fork and an elephant appears before you. Or you say elephant and the fork appears. If the concept is elephants, something has sure got to have the elements of the elephant in it. So, listen, in the beginning was the Word existing, right up there in that beginning. And the Word was in fellowship with God the Father. Okay, and the Word was as to his essential, I beg your pardon, and the Word was as to his essence, absolute deity. Now, there's not a second deity there, as though God spread up. This is not Trinitarianism. See? Where God is three tumblers of water poured into one pitcher. That's, we got one nice God now, all muddled together. Now, we're going to pour him in three glasses again. We've got three gods, and he's unmuddled, so to speak. Yes, that's hogwash. That's not what it says here. There's one God, the Bible. Everybody knows that. And the Word was as to his essence, absolute deity. This Word was in the beginning in fellowship with God the Father. Now notice, was in fellowship. That's going to boggle your mind. So let it boggle. No problem. That's just it. You can't plumb all these depths. But just look at it. This Word was in the beginning in fellowship with God the Father. All things through his intermediate agency came into being. Now notice, all things through his intermediate agency came into being. He's telling what Brother Branham said. This is the beginning of the whole thing where God began to form himself down here in Jesus Christ, and he had to have, as Brother Branham said, God, before he made a fish with the fin, had to have waters to swim in. So in order to get down here in humanity, he had to start up here and bring man down into humanity. And at the same time, you'll understand why man bypassed this theophonic body. Now, let's look at this picture here, because I want to get an understanding, if I possibly can. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, we got in here. We're going to put these in red, along here. These are sons, all sons of God, on the grounds that they are the lives produced by God, even as God breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and he became a living soul. He became a human being absolutely able to propagate, because within his body lay his own wife, his own bedding ground. See? So therefore, when they were separated, had he got to her before the serpent, and he would have had to get there eventually, because that's the law of propagation, they would have brought forth essentially, according to nature, a true human being. And they did when it came to Seth. That's it. To Abel, rather. That's exactly why Cain killed him. One was essentially, absolutely a true human being. Now, where did he get him? Where did he come from? Our Brother Branham said, from the Logos up here, which he calls also Son. Came man. And that man, of course, was down here in Jesus the Christ. But also came man. Let us make man in our image, which was Adam. See? Now, you will notice that Adam came via the Logos. But he was not a direct, essential being with the essentiality of God that this one was. Because remember, whatever came out of God, that's all there was. So this came out of God, but this did not. What came out of God concerning this? This came out of God. Then out of here, we find the propagation of the human race all over the place. Now, you bypassed this here in order to be tested and tried. That's what Brother Branham said. Now, that's what we're looking at. And he said, now, if you follow this here, you'll be able to understand a whole lot more about yourself. And maybe that's about as far as we'll go. Now, look at, in the beginning up here is heaven. Now, we were in him in the beginning, right up in here. In other words, we all had to channel through everything, because by him and for him are everything. And as we said here, this is like an agent of creation. I do not buy that, although it is true in a limited sense of the word. Because remember, we start down here to work backwards. And in here we found that God was in Christ. See? And Christ was this, no longer that form which could have been a light or a pillar of fire, but was now an egg and a sperm. Can you take that much of it and absorb that much? He's changing his form. And it's going to be a propagation form, though he doesn't marry. And yes, let's answer the question. Was he tempted sexually? Yes, he was tempted sexually. If you think he wasn't, you're stupid. But we're no Scorsese or that renegade, blasphemous Greek. So much for the Greeks. Papadopoulos and what's her name? Mercury, what's her name? Well, you know, the song singer who sang every day but Sunday. She's a prostitute. I think she's a prostitute on Sunday too. Let's be honest. I'm not here to throw mud, but I'm sick and tired of their junk. They blaspheme God enough. All right. The egg and the sperm brought forth a complete God-man. Now, let's find out what the Bible says here. We'll read Wiest on this again as to this one here, in contradiction to that one that stopped off here in the form of Melchizedek, wasn't seen again, but he came down here. God in some type of flesh, same one that met Abraham, could eat the calf, drink the milk of the cow, and everything else that Brother Branham said, and come on down here. Okay. In many parts and in different ways, God in former times, having spoken to the fathers by means of prophets, that in the prophets we should not have changed that, in the last day spoke to us in one who by nature is Son. Now, speaking of a nature. A nature is what? That which emanates. And literally, you say the nature of a thing is how it is in touch with everything else. See? So now God is absolutely in touch with and touching everything. I hope you catch what I'm saying here now. One who by nature is Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he constituted the ages, who being the outraying, the effulgence of his glory, the exact reproduction of his essence, and sustaining and guiding and propelling all things by the word of his power, having made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much superior to angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Now what name did he inherit? I came in my Father's name. So you're seeing once more what we looked at here. A great mystery, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed. So what you do, you got to start right back here. Now we have the complete premise, the complete understanding. God was in Christ. Christ is the Logos. Christ would be the man of the anointing. Christ is that manifestation. So therefore, God was in it. God was in here. Now, he was also, Brother Branham said, Jesus was Michael. I don't have to figure it. I just believe it. He was in him and he moved on. Now, the same one that was in him here moved on and went back. Now, down here we found that this bypassing of the Logos. So, well, we don't have to worry. The Logos is up there, so we got a straight direction down here. Now, remember, Jesus came by a human line. In other words, he used Mary, which was a daughter of David, going all the way back. From the male lineage and the female lineage, you can trace it all the way. That is the both sides of family. You can trace it all the way back, and absolutely was in the divine order. And God, what did God do? As he came down now, where Christ laid aside the glory, laid aside all of this, came down to human instrumentality. God chose one. And he chose the second one, and the third, and all the way down, God choosing right here. And brought it right down here to this point, so that the earthly father of Jesus, so-called, was Joseph. The true father was God. There was no sexual intercourse there. So Mary now is a descendant, and she supplies the body which brings forth the chemical processes that bring forth the child, but the life was of Almighty God, and it says this one here is the essentiality of God Himself. So when men looked to Him, they were looking at God. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. In other words, He was God, very God, but He wasn't. Why? Because He had the shell. He had the veil. He had the mask. He was the hider. He was the skin. He was the tent. He was all of those. And who was in the holy tabernacle? God was. God was in Christ. God can never cease moving from His original way. I don't care how many times He moves. I don't care if He moves a million times. He can't cease from moving in His original way. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His ways do not change, nor His essentiality. Nothing changes. So therefore, you don't have to second guess. You don't have to think. You don't have to fool around. You just get the hold of a principle. And we build every study and everything in this church upon principle. Alpha and Omega. Parallelism of Scripture. All of those things. I've given my own words to them. That's my business, not somebody else's, but taken right from the prophet, the word of Almighty God. I believe God gives them to me. I don't know. All right. So therefore, God has this principle of doing this. Now, look. This one up here, coming from God, is the only begotten Son of God. He is a Son of God as no other one is a Son of God. For it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. It did not please God that you and I should have it. It pleased God that you and I should come on down here in these bodies that could go into sin. And as he picked every ancestor of Jesus Christ, he picked every ancestor of you and me. Now, some of you kids may hate your parents. Have a good time. Drop dead. I got no pity for you. I don't like mine either. It's immaturity and stupid. Call yourself a child of God. Take communion. You better get your thoughts lined up, kid. The first commandment of the promise is honor thy father and thy mother. Because you're going right back to God and doing it. Remember, God is not female, but he recognizes himself as El Shaddai, the breasted one, and males don't have breasts that you can feed on. Or I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't think even with hormone injections you can get a man to get that far. Women. So who's our father and mother? Just the same as God said, for this cause a man will leave father and mother. Who was the father and mother of Adam? God was. The entire property. So therefore what we're looking at. All right, now. We came down bypassing the theophonic form, which normally we should have had, because essentially, being in God, we were essentially God. See. Not formless God. God see. Now the mind boggles again itself. How could I have been in God? Well, go ahead and blaspheme God. Be my guest. I'd eliminate some of you right now. You know, you think, especially strangers think I'm awfully tough. I'm not tough. This is just my way of preaching. To smack the people so they wake up. Right? To smack them on your go pop. You know, pops the mucus out. Clears the eardrums. And you get to thinking, hey, I better watch what I'm thinking, what I'm doing. That's the reason I preach this rough. You make them laugh, you hit them so hard they don't dare forget. Remember, there's two ways to teach. You make them laugh, they won't forget, and you hit them so hard they're afraid to forget. See? So, all right, now listen. We were in him. But listen, it was in God himself to have a role of son, but we were in him under the role of sons of the fatherhood, many sons. So that precludes us ever taking a role of God. Remember, it's God in the form or the role of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So it precludes us ever getting there. But it doesn't preclude us from being essentially God and bypassing this essential. So that essentiality, which is our soul of the seed, was relegated to Adam. And we come down by natural elections, the choice of God. As Brother Branham said, the virgin birth is nothing compared to a human birth that God has picked out. He hasn't picked out. It was God's own life coming down. And he's tracing the sperm, and you can put 15,000 sperm across the cross-section of one hair. The male ejaculate the one lifetime. They said, I understand the figures could be screwy because I got them from Armstrong. But goes thousands of miles out into space. God knows every sperm in every egg. Brother, sister, you talk about a computer? 130,000 bytes, this is trillions of bytes. And God will go, spook, just hits his computer. Man, oh man. You're a part of that. Now, Brother Branham said categorically, the reason you bypass this is because you shouldn't have a memory of what's up here. That's why Jesus said, restore to me the glory that I had with you in the beginning. What beginning? Well, you can go back before there was a beginning even. And God took from him. And he didn't diminish himself one little bit by doing it. And bringing forth the Son. Essentially God. But image. Image. You say, hey, my Son is a splitting image of me. Oh, you mean you carved him out of wax? Oh, no, 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 no. It just means that, well, he's another me. But he's he. Yeah, that's the same thing. You're looking at this, and God in transit coming right down here. Now, God doesn't do that with us. But we come right down here, and we bypass the theophany, whereby we are able to be tempted. And worse luck, that's a kind of a bad expression, we can fall. And the reason we can fall is because God now will be a Savior. And so that's the big reason he puts himself in the form of human flesh, comes down here, and he sheds blood because the life is in the blood. In other words, there is a literal carrier for that which is spirit and cannot be seen. Yet look at it. Let's take the life that's in the seed. A little old seed here, sun and rain falls on it, moisture gets hold of it, everything here's the soil here, starts coming up. Now, look, I've got the right color crayons and all, you got to visualize this. Now, this is green. I'm sorry, my green pen ran out. So this is green. Here we got a little green plant come up, and we got a green leaf, so you folk over here can see it. Now, past the green leaves, come up here, and we got a flower that's yellow. I'm going to make a cutaway on this flower here, so that we'll see more about it. Now, that's a yellow flower, and this is a yellow calyx. I mean, it's a green calyx, I beg your pardon, the calyx is green. Now, in this cutaway, which those leaves are, those petals are cut away, they're yellow, there is a white pistil. So this is white. And from that white pistil, there come stamens. Don't they call them those little filaments in there? They bear the pollen. How in the world, this little black seed here, how did that come out and know to produce a stem, a stalk, and some leaves of green, and different color, and different texture, put a bud on it with a calyx, and all those colors. Now you're looking at God, whether you know it or not. You can't figure it, but it lies in there. And so therefore God, who can do all these things, brings us down here to be tempted. Though there's millions and millions of people, and they all have they have the same nature, but they have different natures. They got the same features, but they got different features. All down the line. Now, God now has these sons here that fell, and he's going to restore them back to what was in here in the original, which is up here. See? That's what he's got in mind. Now, these people then are born again, and they die. Now, when they die, remember, the original was to put the sons in this form here, the true essential of God, which Brother Branham said in 2 Corinthians 5, that building is a spirit building, a spirit body, and it's eternal, and his definition of the word eternal, that which never had a beginning. So therefore we were predestined to begin with to have eternal bodies with our eternal souls, which is eternal God. And we got sidetracked on purpose. So what does God do? Now that you missed your theophany down here, I mean, you missed theophany here, you missed it. So you just zoomed around it like that. And you came down here into here. And now you die. So you go down here, go this way. You can go up, it doesn't matter, we're just putting it down. Now, you have a theophany to go into. Now you're back. In other words, the whole family in heaven that was named has to be down here. Go the way God wants it to go, and he'll bring it right back to where it was, and exactly where this is, so that every single one of us end up identical to Jesus Christ because we're brothers, all having the same source. That's right. The one Father. And there'll be millions of bride, and He'll be in the midst of them. And New Jerusalem, the tabernacle of God, which is Jesus, will be with men. They won't need a temple. Now that's kind of what we're looking at as we studied what Brother Branham brought us here. Now, remember, I could also quote the many scriptures that got written down here, and I could quote different scripture, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say this, that Jesus said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" And then He said, if you can't believe that, and you know why they couldn't believe it? Because it didn't make sense. It couldn't justify in their thinking. There was no way they could relate it. Then He said then, look, believe me for the work's sake. Now, there you are. Now, your mind boggles. My mind boggles. You know something? I've thought of these things for years. They're constantly on my mind. Why? Looking at it. Every single time I get a clue from God, it's in the Word, and it is so simple, I just get sick. And I say, well, what have I been doing all these years? Many things come slow. And Jesus with those disciples, and they were so slow. Even after the resurrection, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet said, shouldn't this one that's a Messiah have died? He said so. So stop your thinking. Stop your asking questions. Look at what happened. And there's where the people are wrong. They can't see what happened in that man's ministry. Yes. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to figure it all. The thing is, are you convinced he was vindicated? That man was. He was so convinced of his vindication, he said, if God tells me to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, I will challenge the armies of the earth to shoot me down if I don't do it. Then these pea-headed, stupid theologians, these book writers, have the nerve to talk about William Branham and criticize his doctrine. Well, they're going to go to the lake of fire. I suppose I should feel sorry for them. And for them, I could feel sorry, but not for their authors and where they came. Because it's just another thing of the devil. See? Now, I and my Father are one. People couldn't believe that God's in the prophet, though the Bible said so. Let me go back to Hebrews and read it again. Brother Branham was very strong in this. God, in many parts and many ways, spake in times past in the fathers by the prophets. Even the translators wouldn't put that there. They were too humble. Well, God couldn't surely be in a prophet. David, the great psalmist, a prophet, 500 wives and couldn't be satisfied. He got the most beautiful blonde or whatever she was for his wife and killed a man to get her. Snort, snort, you know. God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't do it. No, God wouldn't. We're such mortal people, Lord. So, brother, sister, how rotten can people be? God couldn't be in the prophets, and God couldn't be in you. Oh, that's different! Is it different? Now you really stink. Pass the gas mask. I couldn't even stand Limburger cheese. Let alone sulfur, what is it, dioxide that stinks to high heaven, worse than rotten eggs. It'll kill you, won't you? Well, how about that, Peter? Will that sulfur finally kill you or just make you so sick you wish you were killed? It's the same difference. If you've got to pray, it won't be a tie. What's the difference? It's in there. Listen, God was in the prophets. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. It doesn't say in a Son or the Son. It's in Son. God in His own essentiality. I can't figure it. But I know it's there. Some might call it ectoplasm. Call it ectoplasm. Call it this plasm. Call it that plasm. I don't care what you call it. God somehow projected God essentially. And there it was. And He slid right into it. Came right down. People can't stand that. Can't stand that He's in, that God would be in, then making all the worlds in there. Because God did it. Jesus himself said, I don't do the works. My Father does it. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, ever, then up here God did it. The Father did it up there. In what? Some form. Why? Hey, I think I got some verses here. Wrote them down somewhere. Oh, yeah. Let's go to John 16, I think. This isn't it. They're here somewhere. Have we turned over yet, Joe? Well, you can let me know. 16. All right. I think maybe it's here. Yes. 27:28 of John 16. For the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. That I literally issued out of God. You know when you're born, you issue forth out of your mother, because that word born means to issue forth. I issued forth from the Father, verse 28, and I'm coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Issue back. You like that? All right, let's go a little further. Let's take John 17:8. If that's the right verse now. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. If you can't believe what the prophet said, you can tell all you want to. I believe he was a great prophet, hallelujah, but you see, he made a mistake in his doctrine. You're a liar. I'm sorry, you're a liar. I'm not saying that to you. People around the world get these tapes. And anybody accidentally gets a hold of them. If you should be sitting here, I'll try to in your face, you're a liar. Because the Bible calls you one. There's no way you can believe he's a prophet sent from God unless you believe his words. Duplessy and the whole bunch said right around here in Middletown. That should be the deadest place in America outside of Jeffersonville in Houston. Where the Pentecost under Duplessy and the rest of them, I forget the other guys, came on the platform. There was Lindsay. And they said, Brother Branham's a prophet, all right. When he diagnoses your disease and prays for you, but don't believe his word because he's messed up in doctrine. Duplessy was glad Brother Branham died. He said, now he said that great judgmental character, he got judged himself smeared across the road. I'm glad Brother Branham went that way. I'm sorry we couldn't be there to see him die a natural death, but I'm glad he went that way. And I'm glad everything's going the way it is, because if there's be no one more time as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Only 8 people were saved. You say, Brother Bale, you're vengeful. I am not. You're liars to say that. You think in your heart. I'm a believer in the word of Almighty God, and I want it that way in spite of myself. That shows there's got to be something in here from God. I'm not judgmental. You do what you want. When I'm out of this pulpit, you know I'm very easy to get along with. I crack jokes, everything else. In this pulpit, it's a different story. I operate under a gift. Outside, I operate to leave veil. Pay no attention to leave veil. Okay? All right. Let's look at John 8:42. And see what it says there again. Now, you came right here. You should forth from God. John 8:42. God said, Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. I want to ask you a question. Did you come from God? If you did, I want to ask you a question. Did you come by yourself, or did you leave because he sent you? Now, if you had your choice up there, which you didn't have, because God made choice. Ha ha. And he said, you're going to bypass this. Oh, Lord, I want to bypass. Oh, Lord, don't leave my peace. Let me be in. You can't remember. You even doubt that it was you up there. Your body wasn't up there. The soul was the cry of an eagle that wants to get out of here. That hates oppression yet indulges. That hates anger yet gets in it. That doesn't want it, never did want it. But you got stuck. All of this thing has a purpose, yet working to God's glory, like the man that was sick all those years, blinded. And they said, was this boy born blind because his parents sinned, or did he get blind because he did some rotten sin himself and not caught up with him? And he said, neither one. He was born blind for the glory of God. Now he said, he's going to be healed. because God was a healer. The girl that died, the man that died. Flashing red light up here. Sometimes I don't see that too good. The man that died, all of those, they died for one reason. The same as exactly with Lazarus. For the glory of God. God did it. Because God is what He is. So therefore, so when you understand these things, now Brother Branham said, it helps us to understand our own peregrinations, that's our own wanderings, our going around in circles. But the main thing is to understand this, that we were in the thoughts of God. We were the thoughts of God, the seed of God. Call it the soul, call it the life, call it all these things. God brought it all down here in a form which could fall, and thereby God would utilize Himself 100% perfectly for you and for me. Now, let me show you something here. We'll go to 2 Corinthians, then we'll get back to Brother Branham's sermon, I promise you. I didn't say what day. I promise you we'll get back to 2 Corinthians. You got to forgive me because, look, I want to up here and lie. Time goes very fast. 45 minutes are gone. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. And it says here, in the verse 18, "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Him." Now listen, He has reconciled, watch, this, how beautiful it is. He has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, to wit, God was in Christ. He created the world by Christ Jesus, to wit, God was in Christ. He healed the sick by Christ Jesus, to wit, God was in Christ Jesus. And God's in us, but not this way. Mm-mm. We don't have the fullness of the attributes, no way. We have the attributes in here that allowed us to have Zoe, to take on a human form, to be tested and tried, to fall into sin. And we're not judged because of Adam's sin, brother, sister. That's the truth. Because a baby dying goes straight to the good place. And the reason I said good place and not heaven, because I don't know exactly what bracket they go to. Or what dimension. They likely go exactly where Brother Branham was. Because he saw his daughter there. See? Now that theophonic form will look just like you, but resplendent. No more sickness, no more pain. And it's just waiting to come back and pick you up. That is, if you die. It'll come back and pick you up because you're in that form. You pick your body up. You've got to have your body. And we'll find why, what happens in a minute. Whatever time we get there. Now listen, God was in Christ. Now let me go to Galatians and see the same thing here. Oh yes, Galatians and, what is it? It's the third chapter. And we'll look at verses 19 and 20. "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, so the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. It tells you right there, there's no such thing as a one-sided affair where a man says, "Hey, you and I got trouble, and I'm going to mediate." You'd say, "Hold it, boy, hold it. I'm going to call in the National Relations Board, Labor Board." Because one person doesn't mediate against another. It's two people standing there, and you bring in a third. And this one says right here, when God needed a mediator, God became His own mediator. God in Christ Jesus again. Can't you see one God in various forms? It's no tremendous mystery. It's a mystery to a degree, but it's no tremendous mystery in the sense that Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And you look at Christ and see Him, you will see absolutely God manifesting Himself and how God acts. And people have a hard job realizing that God was angry with those Pharisees, that bunch of serpent seed that had crept in His temple and desecrated the things of God. And He took a rope with, and I've told you before, binder twine is one of the stinkiest things in the world to get cut with. You get cut with a piece of paper or a piece of string that's worse than a piece of glass many times. It's horrible. And you could just took all that binder twine, those thorns, just like that, whipped them. Well, would God do that? He did it. He did it. It tells you something. And that's what we're looking at. The essentiality of God brought into manifestation. Okay, I think I've read enough scripture here. Let me go to John 5:36. And someday we'll take the whole thing maybe in a nutshell. 5:36. He said, Jesus, I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father gave me to do, finished, the same works that I do, bear witness to me that the Father sent me. Now look at it right here. It says, the Father hath given him certain works to do that God didn't finish. Hey, way up here. Logos. Starting out. In creation. Down all these other things. Way down here. And he comes down here in a man, and he said, hey, there were certain works that God never did do. I'm going to finish it.
Yeah.
Now that tells you something. Because he said in John 14, he said, the Father doeth the works. God by Christ Jesus today is doing works. God by the Logos and the prophet is doing the works.
Amen. Yeah.
Do you believe he's doing works?
Yeah.
Well, you better believe he's doing works. He's not dead. I know some people's God's dead, and sometimes I can feel maybe God is dead because I'm a fool. He's doing works. And I believe what Brother Branham said. He said, people are always looking back, always looking forward, never know what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest revelation from this pulpit concerning the Godhead is God the Judge. And I'll tell you, just the other day I caught it. You go to your concordance and you will find the word God in both the Hebrew and the Greek is magistrate, and magistrate is a judge. And the first thing we have in God up here is judge, because he began to judge within himself.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he chose all his children would come back. All of them down here. Oh, hallelujah. Going to get way up here again in the New Jerusalem. Glory to God. The trials of this world seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. You won't even remember. See? I'll tell you, this is true what I'm talking about. This is gospel truth vindicated through prophet. People are guessing. We don't guess anymore. You know why Brother Branham had that great rest after the beyond the curtain of time? Because he saw exactly what it was. Why, he said, that's what I missed, and I've been looking for it. And I'll be so glad to get it. And he said, I could never be the same again. Brother, sister, let me tell you, once more we're looking at the vindication principle. It was vindicated by him and to him and through him. Then we say, hallelujah, Brother Branham, we're going to be right there with you because we know you're a prophet. We believe you're sent from God. We believe your word. That's all you got to do. That's what's wrong with this whole message. They don't believe it. They can't, because all they can do is quote it. They haven't got the doctrine. You don't know doctrine, brother, sister, quote yourself plumb to hell. Gene built a house here. He ordered a house. It was all by numbers, right? What if you couldn't read numbers, Gene? The basement on top and the house down below, right? All the parts are there, kid. Right? Every part was there. Lucky you could read numbers. You people got to know the doctrine. If you don't know the doctrine, you're stuck. Sorry. We teach doctrine day and night here. I have one hope in this word, my brother and my sister, one hope in this world. That the true mechanics of God's Word invades our minds, our spirits, and our souls. Until by the grace of God, nothing comes forth but the Word. That means, and I'll prove it, we ever get to it, you're going to be in the resurrection. You won't miss it. Okay. All right. The prophet said, we study this, we talk about us. We go now, finally. And I wasn't lying after all. Sure nice to prove I wasn't quite as bad as I thought I was. We're back to page 14, though. We haven't moved for 3 weeks. Or something like that. Now listen, you can't be the Word. You cannot be this body here, the Word body, like Logos, whatever you want to call it, spirit body, Word body. You can't be that unless, first of all, you were here.
Amen.
Why? Because you've got to come exactly as he came. You could never be. You had to be in the thinking first. unless you were a thought. You had to be in the thinking. Now it says you had to be in the thinking. Actually, you had to be in the thinker. And you were part of his thinkings. So therefore, you were a thought. And now you're going to get manifested. And you should have had that body. You see? But you see an order to be tempted, which you can't be tempted there. There's nothing there. Can you tempt a rock? Can you say to this rock, "Rock, how would you like to be hurled at somebody's head and see the splash?" It's no use. Well, maybe stupid. There's nothing to tempt. That's why in the millennium, Satan is bound by a chain of circumstances. There's nothing to tempt. You just go on further sanctified and raised up in Christ. But you see, in order to be able to be tempted, you have to bypass the theophany. You have to come down here in flesh, in Christ, not in theophany, in flesh, tempted by sin. Now, Brother Branham, and you know all preachers are guilty. Not of sinning and blasphemy, but they take little bypaths. And even you do in your conversation, because you want to fill something in, and you really shouldn't do it, you just stick to your thought to the end, then come back, get rid of all your interpolations, it's much better. Otherwise, it's tricky. Now, we've got a little bit of trickiness here. Then if you sin, see, by reason of being in the flesh, now just a minute. Do you think you really sin if you're a part of God? No, it's guilt by association. It's guilt by association. You know why? Because when you come in this world, as the baby dropped from its mother's womb, God gives it a spirit allowed of God, but not of God. Not the Holy Ghost. No, no, no. It's another spirit. And with that, you have the combination of flesh. And with that, you have a physical brain through which the spirit moves, and the spirit will tell you all kinds of hokey things because the spirit is not of God. Yes. See, that's why if you don't have the Holy Ghost baptism, the poor old soul down in here's got a real problem, because in spite of the fact it's the seed of God, it is now obscured, and testing will come against it, and in the soul lies the power of decision, and if it doesn't have revealed word, it'll make a wrong decision. So you see, you got a problem in this area here. But nobody's going to tell me that a soul from God would ever really sin. And Brother Branham said, "See, little bride, you didn't even do it. You were tricked." Now I want to ask you, what did the tricking? It couldn't happen in this one. It could only happen down here. See, only happened down here, physical body. No other place. See? All right, now listen. If you sin by reason of being in the flesh, now watch, all that the Father hath given me will come to me. Now what's he telling you about sin? Sin brings death, and what's death? Separation. So therefore, everyone that gets separated, not only by the fact of Adam, but he continues in separation because he's born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and he does sin, because you know you're not judged according to Adam's sin, you're just brought in it. What does it say? Here he said, "I'll raise him back up." Okay, let's have a little bit of a nice picture here. I like this much better. Aha, that's a great big blob of mud. Now, here's my Bible. Here we are down here in the mud. Came all the way down here, bloop, hit the mud. Right? He said, "I'm going to raise him up." Jesus said, "I came from God, I go back to God." Exactly true.
Amen.
We have the same privilege, the same opportunity, because that's in the books. Now, I'll raise him up. See, if you had to be first flesh, see, well, I put that flesh here because, see, you had to be first, because you couldn't be the other. And then, you see, he came right down the regular line from attribute to the rest of it. Now, he's telling you here that you and I could work. We had to be fresh, but Jesus didn't. But you notice, even then, he came right down the regular line. Now, you have to be in his thinking, which we were a thought. He calls it a soul, an attribute, a theme, and so on. We come down by Adam and Eve, get into sin by reason of them. Then he said, it's already foreordained, because remember, Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, and God was already a redeemer. So therefore, Brother Branham said, you'll find you always were saved. If you were in the redeemer, you already were redeemed. You had everything necessary for redemption. In a figure, and not just a figure, more than that. Because he said, you'll find out someday you always were saved. It's just that you now recognize it. Now, if you believe sovereignty, and you believe the Word of God the way God wrote it, never minding even a vindicated prophet, you've got to believe that, though it's contrary to your senses according to what you feel you are. But you don't know. Ask you a question, where did you come from? Where are you going? Well, bless God, live like a dog, die like a dog. Is that a fact? Can you prove it? You ever seen a dog? You know that's the truth. Have you been where the dog's been? Have you been where the dog's going? That big mouth, eh? Where's that scripture anyway? I got a blank in my mind, but it's a good scripture. It tells you to learn to keep your mouth shut before God in case you opened in sin. Was it old Abraham Lincoln said? He said, let people believe you're fooled by being your, keeping your mouth shut instead of opening, and they know that you are. Bible also speaks of watch your tongue lest it makes your flesh to sin. Now listen, paragraph 70, before the foundation of the world, his name's put on the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, now before the foundation of the world, before even there was Logos in the plan of God, there was a Lamb's Book of Life. Either that came before it or after. It doesn't make any difference. It was already there. I would say the name was put on it, then came forth. Our names were put on it, come forth. That's what it is. You can't do better than that. That's right. The name comes first. Then from that he became the Word. That's a theophany, which could disappear and reappear. Then he became flesh and returned back again, resurrected that same body in a glorified condition. But you bypassed the theophonic form, became flesh man. He never became word man. No, he became flesh man to be tempted by sin. And then, if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have one already waiting. And remember, the Word is eternal. You and I can't understand it, but let me tell you this. Spirit is substance. I don't care what anybody says. But it's not the substance you and I can fool around with or recognize or anything else. That's a big thing right there. Can't do it. So therefore, this body, a spirit body, means just what he said. And that literally came somehow from God. Then again, you look and you say, well, hey, now, if I'd have had that, I could see where I really would have been on top of the heap. That's exactly right. You never would have sinned. Nothing would have bothered anything else. If you'd have brought it with you, you'd have been king of the castle. You know what? That's right. It's not the way God wanted it. See, God's sovereign. Say, why did God do it this way? Because it was in God to do it. Now, if you want all the goodies that come from God, then why do we then begin to cast aspersions on those things we don't think really fit what we like? See, we know we're two-faced. Let me show you my better side. No, that's the bad side. Have we got a better side? No, there's no better side. We are. It's too bad. Now, listen. Now, watch. We have not yet the word bodies, but look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. Now watch right here. We're coming on down, and we got this body here. And this body is a flesh body, and this body has got to die. You know what? And remember, that doesn't matter. Because in here is this seed that goes zooming up to this theophany. You're okay. You see? Now watch. God esteems this body because it was this kind of body that the Son was in. A part flesh, human flesh. He came the way we come in birth. But the life was absolutely a God, not a man. And the seed, the egg and the sperm, was absolutely created, and it was literally a human egg, and it was a human sperm, but it was not generated by man. Same thing as up at the top there, only much, much more so. I'll compress the fullness, all the attributes compressed into it. Now it says right here, this fellow here living in here, what does God do? He sends the Holy Ghost down, and it charges every atom, not giving eternality here, it's already eternal, but giving immortality to this. You follow what I'm saying? I just read it to you. Now let's go to Ephesians, the first chapter. We'll see it. And he's talking about getting up there with all the inheritance. To getting up there and getting everything God's got. To being taken right back. The seed, a finished product, right back to the God who is the producer. Millions of little gods, so to speak. Sons of God. Then he says, here, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, first trusted in Christ. And remember, God was in Christ. So you're trusting in God, in whom you also trusted. After you heard the word you also hoped. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after you believed, you received the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, that's over here in, pardon me, Romans. Do I want Romans? I hope so. Yes. Romans 8 and 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the spirits, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So the Holy Spirit comes upon us, giving us immortality in full potential, because if we die, we don't die, we go back here, then we come back and pick this up. Absolutely glorified. Now watch. Look, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of it, it throws this body in subjection to God. Now, throwing it in subjection to God has a twofold meaning. Number one, it means instead of obeying the flesh, you now can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. But it also means this, it's subject to God. Whether you die or you don't die, it doesn't matter. Because this now belongs to God, and He's going to raise it and put you in it. So the baptism with the Holy Ghost is more than just a guarantee to the resurrection. It goes a lot farther. Now, Brother Branham says here that you were put in this body so that you could be tested by sin. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. How's our time? Huh? 20. We're going to just read this and quit. I worked 8 hours last night and 8 hours already. It's a pretty long day for 2 hours, 2.5 hours sleep. Now listen, start at verse 1. I love the Lord's help because He keeps my mind clear. That's eating smart pills does that. Your weenies. Wherefore also, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the every weight and sin besets us. That's sin of unbelief. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You'll find out how 75 years can go in a hurry. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now He had a big advantage over us. He had all this glory up here. Give me back the glory I had. We don't have a clue. Right. You know something? Years ago I had a bad case of bursitis. I went to a chiropractor in Troy. And actually, he should have been taking care of the city dump with the scoop shovel, because he messed me up real good. I was so bad I had to sit up at night to even try to get a little bit of sleep. So finally, I felt led to go to a certain place to a meeting. And I met a woman there who told me, she said, "Oh, you got bursitis." I said, "Yeah, and it's killing me." Well, she said, "I went to see Dr. Beery, and he did me really good." I said, "Praise God, that's why I came to this meeting. I preached, it was hard, but I preached." I got a hold of Dr. Beery, very outstanding osteopath who does nothing. I guess he's retired now if he's still living. Did nothing but adjusting. "Yeah," he said, "you're all messed up in here, all frozen." Well, that was horrible. Now he said, "This is going to hurt." I said, "Look, I don't care if you rip it off and beat me with a bloody stub as long as it stops hurting once and for all." Right? All right, now that's what you're looking at here. If you knew what Jesus knew, and I knew what Jesus knew, there is nothing we wouldn't pay the price for. Amen. That's why Brother Branham said, "I'll never be the same again." But we can't. You've got to take it by faith. Even Paul had something we don't have. All these men have something we don't have. It's not given to us. But I'm going to tell you something. If those men are true to their greater glory by reason of what they were inducted into, and you and I were not inducted, what shall we receive from God by just believing? Many, many more times than they receive, if that's as far as they go. To believe the vindication, brothers and sisters, is the greatest thing in this world. Amen. Oh God, I wish I believed it the way I'm talking it. I've got to wait on God to help me. I could say this morning, maybe I'll be a castaway. Maybe you disapprove. Maybe you'll understand. Somebody in this church will understand. Go where I'm trying to point you. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." See, sinners, it doesn't say the bride. "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." This man was in the Garden of Gethsemane, shed blood. Shed blood. Drops of blood appeared. Broke through the capillary. Appeared the brown eye. As he fought against sin. You and I don't fight against it. We say, "Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?" Put bigger. Well, come on now. I know we don't mean to be, but it's just too much. Just too much, brother, sister. We don't look before we leap. Listen, I'm going to tell you. If we had the way of looking before we leaped into that great leap beyond. But we're learning this morning, God help us to make it a revelation, to get in the spirit of it. God help us. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. There is no way that it can be done. If you endure, you now said, "For and have not forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise now not the training, the chastening, the teaching of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him." In other words, the ways of the Lord are very tough on us sometimes, but it makes us good citizens. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens, he trains, he gives us..." Oh, he doesn't beat us over the head and like people try to make us think. He corrects us. He makes us keep going to the same thing over and over till we say, "I won't do it." Listen, that's how I got back in the ministry. I quit one time. I said, "I can't take it," and I quit. I could have taken it. You can take anything if you have to. Castor oil, rotten eggs even. No matter what it is, you can take it. Some of you people, well, I won't talk about that. I wasn't nasty in my announcement telling you to, watch the sanctuary, so I'm not going to get mad now. People just don't, they don't want to take anything tough. But believe me, God does not heap tough things upon us. It's just as I was saying in the ministry. I failed God. I wouldn't trust him for a living, yet we prayed the food on the table. Now I got a family. Oh boy, it's worse than ever. I go back and I say, "Lord God, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, there's no turning back." There's been no turning back, and there can't be. You have got to come to a place where you know you won't turn back. Now, people were being tried every day, many times for the same stupid thing. The only key is face it. Say, "God, try me one more time. This time I won't." Sam, look at Samson. Every time fell for a woman. Yep. Finally, he said, "Lord," he had to pay a price. He said, "Give me one more chance." He said, "This time it won't be women or anything else. It'll be your will." Because I suppose if he'd asked for women, they'd have given it to him. The heathen didn't mind unless they got him in control. They'd give him anything. But he said, one more time, Lord, just give me one more time. See, now, he said, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father does not chasten? And if he be without chastening, whoever are all partakers, then you're illegitimate children. You're not sons. These people that go through the world swimming, hallelujah, God has their grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They haven't got a clue. Not that you can't live in a place of victory. I'm not saying that. But David wondered why the rich spread like the green bay tree. And he couldn't understand. He said, God, out there, everybody's having it good but me. I thought he had it all for good myself. King, armies, general, friends, if you mention women, he had them. That was a great luxury. Still is. Name it. But he began looking around. And then he said, beyond the curtain of time, he said, I saw their end and I saw mine.
Amen.
What are you looking at this morning, brother, sister? A lot of things don't matter. When you're dying, there's only one thing that matters. Where is my soul? There's training here. See? Because we're in the flesh. And we must respect God for that training. All about it. Now, he that is born of God does not commit sin. He cannot sin. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There you are. See? Now watch. That throws your body subject. The Holy Ghost does. You don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking, if I could just get into Christ. It's all gone. See? Because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism. That's Romans 6. And you are now a new creation in Christ. And your body becoming subject to it. And watch. Try to live a right kind of life. You notice? At the first it says, hey, if I'm born again, oh, I won't smoke anymore. I won't cuss anymore. Now I won't be kissed anymore. Oh, this will be fine anymore. Doesn't say that. He said, and try to live the right kind of life. Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You put away this. You put away that. It doesn't say that God doesn't. He just gives you the Holy Spirit and me the Holy Spirit to give us the strength by revelation to look down the road beyond the curtain of time and say there's nothing worth it. There's nothing worth it we have ahead of us. It's all too wonderful. I'm going to look at that. I'm going to get it. That's what it is. I'm just going to quit here with one little scripture. 1 John 2:15-17. And we're going to see what it is to just put away the flesh and the world and the devil and all these things he's talking about. And it says here, 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in. Look, there's your test right there. There's your test, honey. Brother Branham Costi talked to me. This man that wrote the book, oh, he thinks Brother Branham hated women and he's diatribed against them. How he ran them down. Lovely spiritual girls, take your clothes off. Those skimpy bathing suits, cut hair, everything else. Against the Word of God? Come on. Come on. Don't be babies. Don't be foolish. Don't be crazy. My mother used to wear old street sweepers. High top shoes, not high just zippers. She had the old high fashion button up. We used to have button hooks. We knew what button hooks were. You don't, you guys. You're not even not even born hardly. You know what a button hook is. Button hooks. You have clasps and zippers and Velcro. We had button hooks. And then you'd miss one. Start over again. Big long hole. Yes, sir. She didn't wear that kind of clothes. What is she now? In her, Brother Branham said, in her day, a woman wearing clothes like that, today they'd say you're insane, you're immoral, throw you in jail. And if you got raped, they'd say, ha ha, you had it coming to you. I'm not for rape. Now you get that fine. I'm sure a woman walked out down the street here naked, and a man attack her, kill him. Just kill him. The Bible says so. Don't bother castrating him. Just kill him. That's what the Bible teaches. You rape a woman is death. Now come on, get your ears up and get with your Bibles. Don't talk this soft nonsense to me about God. Amen. Well, I'm soft. It's an unusual punishment. Now what did she get? Was that usual? Well, has she done the unusual thing? That's her business. She'll answer to God. And any man that lusted and committed adultery, she'll answer to God in heaven. Leave these with God. Let's read the scripture. You bet your life. I get mad at these things. I'm not a prude. I wish I were totally a Puritan. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever.
Amen.
And you'll never do that will outside of being a child of God, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Well, you see, brother, sister, we're all in one great big family. God's our Father, Jesus our older brother. We're little gods in our own little sense of the word, you know, whatever you want to put it. Beloved of the Lord, he made his journey to save us in our journey. And the whole thing will go down to the glory of Almighty God. And one day God will do such things as is absolutely impossible for us to know, as only as we enter in. But let's get the upper vision now. Because let me tell you something, brother, sister, the world's on the tail down. And the theologians are completely whipped in one of these days when the bride is gone. All the devil's anger and God's wrath is going to be loosed upon this earth. And if you think AIDS is bad, wait till they start burning up while they're rotting. Have you ever tried to roast a rotten chicken? Accidentally put a chicken in the oven with all the guts inside? I'm not nice, am I? Well, I'm a good preacher. Because you get the point. This world will be worse than that rotten chicken that's being roasted when the sun begins to scorch. And you didn't like the way there was no rain. Wait till there isn't any rain. Listen, it's easy to talk, brother, sister. This church needs one thing before God, to get a sincerity and a revelation from God. To know that these things are real within us. We can't just talk them any longer. I know what Brother Branham felt like. He said, I've got to get in that cave. I've got to get something. I don't know what happened to him, but I know the same thing in measure's got to happen to us before we get out of here, because it must be real. So real that nothing else matters. The soul panting after the life that's in this world. Let's rise and be dismissed. Be back with you Wednesday night, 7:30. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. We can't praise enough, Lord. We don't understand half the things we even talk about. We know they're there. We know they're vindicated. We know if we just follow the prophet, we'll find it all in the Word, Lord, coming out just the way you put it in there to come out, O God. But we know unless it comes out in these lives here, bodies that are subject to the Holy Ghost, crucified to the world, the flesh and the devil, lust the eye and the pride of life, all these things, Lord. We know it's going to be kind of a musty dungeon for the blessed life that's within us by that little soul that came from you. Oh God, you even send a light to that little soul, and somehow we try to obscure the light. Yet we know, God, the darkness cannot do anything about it. That light will triumph. But oh God, what condition will we be in as the light triumphs? Help us, Lord, to recognize that we're all going to die. But what condition are we in when we die? The same condition we lived in, Lord. We know it's just not suddenly a change. Because we're not the kind, Lord, that's looking to a salvation, deathbed, something like that, Lord. We're looking to a life, oh God. Looking for a lovely life, oh Christ. We can't regret bypassing the spirit body, the word, Lord. We weren't supposed to have it anyway. We're going to have it, Lord, by grace, and then we'll know these things. That's true. But Lord, there's so much in your word down here that talks of your majesty, your honor, and your glory. That talks of living epistles read and known of all men. That talks of a life crucified unto this life. But we've been crucified in the flesh, and nevertheless we live. Yet we live not, but it's Christ living in us. And it's all living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, that all might be of God. Help us, Lord, to come to that place. Father, we don't want to wait until we die. We don't want to wait for New Jerusalem, Father. We want it now, in the sense, Father, that there couldn't be the cry within us if there wasn't something out there to reach it. And we don't believe it's all beyond the curtain of time, Lord. We believe there's something here, or the prophet wouldn't have taught it. For Lord, we know he bridled and stood in the pulpit that day when men attacked and said they couldn't say one thing against my character. They didn't dare. Oh God, for us to stand as your sons and daughters and have that witness would be the greatest thing in the world. I would prefer it above making worlds of my own. I'd prefer it above miracles. I'd prefer it above everything in this world, any office I could hold, any reward I could attain to. I would prefer that one thing, O God, as I prefer nothing else in this life. And maybe it's just words, Lord, because if I prefer to that much,
The sacrifice of dear, I don't know. It's like a mixed up person, oh God. I only know there's a deep, and I know the people today are hungering for the same thing. They're tired of arguing. They're tired of this and that. The roiling of the waters, Lord. The muck and mire thrown up on the beaches. We're tired of the whole thing, oh God. We're panting and thirsting for that life to come through. Forgive us our sins, O Lord God, we pray. Bring the sweet Spirit of Christ in our midst to the very sick amongst us to heal. Give us strength for our journey, Lord, day by day. Bring us back to this place better, citizen of the kingdom of Almighty God, more loving and kinder, loving you by loving our brothers and sisters, serving you by serving our brothers and sisters. Help us, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your honor and glory. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus.